Greetings and welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We continue our conversation on Scripture's teaching of Christian vocation. Now, we're not talking here about church work or professional church work or what they used to call the godly vocations. And we're not talking here about the big-ticket professions like medical doctor, politician, the people who seem to have, you know, you'll talk about this. I just felt God was calling me to this position. You know, every single Christian can say, God has called me to this position. And it has nothing to do with how you feel about the position. It has everything to do with where God has put you in life right now and the neighbors he has surrounded you with and the full sufficiency of Christ's good works for you so that now your life can be spent on your neighbor right where you're at this moment in time. It's called the doctrine of vocation. We're coming to you live this Sunday night, March the 25th. Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. And listeners and emailers with the best comments and questions will receive the book called God at Work, Finding Your Vocation in All of Life by Dr. Gene Edward Veith, 1-800-730-2727 or issuesetc@kfuo.org. Dr. Stephen Hine is our guest. He is director of the Concordia Institute for Christian Studies in Colorado Springs, Colorado. He spent 23 years teaching theology at Concordia University, Chicago. Dr. Hine, welcome back.
It's good to be with you again this evening.
Let's go back over some of this in a little more detail. How does God define a good work?
A good work, at least in a general sense, is a work that is in accord with God's law. It is a work that is done through faith in Christ, and it is a work that goes out to neighbors that God has given to us for their benefit.
Okay, let's go through those one at a time real quick.
Okay.
A work done in accord with God's law. You said in the previous hour that one of the things that Christian vocation, kind of a day-to-day benefit, the Christian vocation or proper understanding of it, accords to the Christian, is that when he comes to the end of the day, he can actually be done, at least for that day. But is it ever done perfectly in accord with God's law?
Well, it is to say that we use God's law, and this is sometimes referred to as the third use of the law, to help us to understand what kind of things are actually beneficial to our neighbor. So we can certainly understand, therefore, for instance, with the commandment, thou shalt not kill, that the medical profession, for instance, that offers health care services to people is certainly in accord with God's law. Conversely, we can understand that you can't be a hitman for Jesus. You can't kill him for Christ. That this is not something that is within the context of the law. So the law, while it doesn't tell us what our works are specifically, nevertheless tells us what kinds of works can be considered good works and what kind of works are not to be a part of our life at all, those things that are outside the parameters of the commandments.
Those things that the commandments do direct us, those places where the commandments do direct us, Dr. Hine, can the Christian ever come to the end of the day and say, I have served my neighbor perfectly?
Probably there is not something where we can say we have served our neighbor perfectly in the sense that the fact that we are sinners and that everything that we do involves also that sinful self which is within. But it is to say that in God's sight, at the end of the day, all of our works are seen through the perfect works and righteousness of Christ that we are living in 24/7. And therefore, we need to have the confidence that from God's perspective, all of our works are wonderful and pure and perfect because they are, as we are, always covered in the full righteousness and perfection of Christ.
So it's that thing that Jesus talks about with his disciples, when kind of the end of the day scenario, when you have done everything commanded of you, you say, we are unworthy servants.
Yes. When we see ourselves particularly apart from Christ, our worth is totally seen and totally possessed in the righteousness of Christ, which is our life of faith. And therein, and that alone, is that by which we have favor with God. So our works are simply faith going to work. We can't get more righteous than we already are in Christ Jesus, so our works contribute nothing there. If at the end of the day we think, gosh, you know, I could have done this better, or I could have done that better, or so on and so forth, those are not things by which we need to disparage ourselves before God as if somehow he was not pleased with what we did. We may recognize that we have favor with him, and our works are favorable also with him as they are seen through Christ and his work.
Some might say, look, if you tell people that Christ has done all of the work on our behalf to please God and nothing more is needful from us to please God, then you're going to produce a bunch of lazy Christians. How would you respond?
Well, I would want to respond that, you know, God creates what delights him. And what delights him are people who put their faith in him and who put their works in their neighbor. Jesus talks about how he is the vine and we are the branches. And that is to say that he raises up us as a new creation, fashioned after the image of Christ, grafted into Christ, and he creates us whereby those works that he has ordained for us to be about are those things that actually this new creation that he has created us to be actually delights in. And so, therefore, in a sense, vocation is where we do as we are. He has created us for these works. He has created us into the image of Christ, and these flow from us, not just as have-tos, but as want-tos.
Is it a good work, Dr. Hine, if we serve our neighbor in order to get something in return from God?
It really doesn't work that way. It is to say that we pray, Lord, give me this day my daily bread. And obviously within that bread that we pray for, we pray also for chicken, and we pray within that petition for all the things that we need for our temporal life. And we pray confident that he is going to be hearing that prayer, and he will answer it in a positive way. These are gifts and blessings that come from God. They're not a payoff for anything that we do. So our vocation is the context upon which we receive God's blessings, but it is not compensation for them.
Okay, so in other words, if I'm doing good works in order to store up for myself heavenly rewards, to kind of use the purpose-driven life scenario, and it's very clear in that book that that's the kind of the purpose for, he would say, well, you serve your neighbor, but this is really about getting your heavenly reward. Are those good works?
Those are not the things that make for a good work. Those may be some things that the sinful self is about, as the sinful self is still curved in upon me and looking and seeing everything in relationship to what I want and what I need and who I am. But it is to say that works are done in a faith that realizes and recognizes that God has taken care of me, he is taking care of me, and I have my secure future in all of his promises. So really, when we talk about vocation and when we talk about what good works are, they are those sorts of things upon which we have been freed up to actually be thinking about benefit, not for ourselves, but rather for our neighbor. God is going to be taking care of us, and that life of faith is to cling to those promises that he will, as he does, in doing so.
All right. When we come back from this break, we're going to be taking your phone calls and your email. 1-800-730-2727. We're talking about vocation tonight with Dr. Stephen Hine. Our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. We're also going to talk a little bit about how much there is to do. Could you ever run out of things to do? Living, as Dr. Hine said, in faith toward God, putting our faith in Christ and our works in our neighbor? We'll take your phone calls and your email right after this. Are you thinking about a gift for your kids or your grandkids for the Easter season? Well, think about our Issues Etc. book of the month for March, called Easter Is For Me. It's a children's book set in rhyme and verse. It tells the story of Jesus' death and resurrection for sinners. It's the Easter story. You can find Easter Is For Me at either of the two Concordia Publishing House bookstores in the St. Louis area. One is on the campus of Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. The other is at 3558 South Jefferson in the city. When you visit, ask for Easter Is For Me, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March. Those two locations, 3558 South Jefferson in the city, or on the campus of Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. It's the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March, called Easter Is For Me. Or browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org.
Christ-centered, cross-focused. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Martin Luther once called the doctrine of justification the doctrine by which the church stands or falls. What is the central nature of this teaching, and why is it so important? Here is Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. Lawrence White of Our Savior Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas.
Paul articulates for us more clearly than anywhere else in Scripture that great biblical doctrine of justification, that as the sinner stands before the righteous judge, he is declared to be not guilty because of that which Christ has done for us. When God the judge looks on us, he sees not our sins, not our failures and our flaws, but the pure white robe of Christ's righteousness. And we are declared to be justified, not guilty, because of that which Christ has done for us.
Issues Etc., the radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. Our call in number 1-800-730-2727, and our in-studio email address is issuesetc@kfuo.org. Let's go straight to the phones, and we'll talk with Nate in Austin, Texas. He listens on KLGO. Hi, Nate.
Hey, Todd. First of all, I want to thank Issues Etc. and you specifically for introducing me to this concept of vocation. I had never even heard of the idea of our daily life as parents or whatever job we possess, how that's also how we serve God. And so the comment I had was on the fact that vocation frees us up from our natural selfishness, for example, the fact that without vocation, we're always striving to figure out, we create a false dichotomy of what we do as service to the church, and then we're trying to figure out, how do I fit in and how can I serve within this church? How does this church need me and my services?
All right.
Thank
you very much, Nate. I appreciate it. Let's see what Dr. Hine has to say. Dr. Hine, Nate has some observations and greatly appreciative of this teaching on Scripture's doctrine of vocation.
Well, I think Nate has captured something that is extremely important, and we've mentioned it before, but there is a tremendous, exhilarating freedom that comes from understanding on how the works of the Christian are shaped by vocation for the neighbor. It frees up the fat, relentless ego inside of each of us and gets us outside of ourselves, that we might pay attention to others and give it a rest in terms of always thinking about ourselves. what a freed up thing it is in the gospel to realize that we are now finally and fully and completely taken care of, lacking nothing in the gospel promises that are ours. And therefore, we can give me and mine a rest and begin to turn our attention outward to our neighbor. And what a freeing up thing that that is. I share that exhilaration with Nate, and I hope some of our other listeners have discovered what an exhilarating freedom that really is.
Following up on Nate's comment there, your thoughts on this, along with, in our many vocations, sometimes it's just a matter of where I am at any particular time of the day. Here's a good for instance. Right now I'm at work, which means my focus is on my neighbor as I encounter him at work. Now in about, I don't know, maybe an hour or a little bit more than an hour, I'm going to get in the car and drive home. I'll get home. Everybody's asleep, but let's just say for the sake of argument, they're still my neighbors, even though they're sleeping. I want to make sure the house is locked, porch lights on, things like that. Where I am at any given time during the day, there's a great amount of comfort realizing I don't have to worry about work when I go home. I can actually be at home and not worry about what's happening here at the studio.
Yes. God apportions our neighbors, and he apportions our work in the context of the finite and limited contexts upon which we move through life. And that frees us up to be able to focus our attention upon the neighbors that he gives to us in this office or that office, so that we really can focus our attention upon them and the tasks that we have to do, and then we can do them well. Realizing also, there's one other thing that I think that is terribly comforting, and that is this. About all the neighbors that we have been given to serve, it is to say that God has not given us the opportunity to be of service to these neighbors because somehow he is hamstrung and incapable of really providing for them without us. It is rather that he is pleased to give us these neighbors and these works that we might join with him in a sense of a junior partnership that adorns our life with some significance that we wouldn't have if he didn't choose to work through us to bring those blessings.
Nate, hold on the line there, because I'm going to send you a copy of God at Work. Thanks very much for listening down in Austin, and thank you for your excellent comment here on Issues, Etc. This is Paul in Milwaukee. He writes, and he listens on WRRD, how does the idea of vocation fit with the proclamation of law and gospel? Based on hour one, the lay Christian could serve his neighbor without reference to Matthew 28, or, for that matter, the vocational example of the evangelist, the tent maker, Paul. I appreciate that the best gospel work may be done in the divine service, but should we, in our vocation, try to see our witnessing opportunities and take them, asks Paul. Dr. Hine?
Well, I want to look at what he is implying there in a favorable way. Yes, it is. God has given us opportunities to be witnesses to those to whom he gives us opportunity. And generally speaking, those to whom he gives us opportunity are going to be the neighbors that we're into contact with where we live, work, and play. I do want, though, to make a distinction between an opportunity and an obligation. If someone asks you the question, what must I do to be saved? It seems to me that we need to bring that comfort to the gospel, and we need to bring it right away. The need is there, and we have, as it were, the office of servant of the word precisely because of that need that comes up. But opportunities, though, are things that we can take advantage of when, in fact, we have time, when, in fact, we have fulfilled, actually, our primary vocational responsibilities. In other words, we're not to be remiss on the job, neglecting the ordinary responsibilities that our job brings us so that we can witness.
Okay, so maybe an extreme example, an EMT, an ambulance driver.
Yes.
When he arrives at the accident scene, he doesn't get out his Bible and start witnessing to the accident victim right there. He attends to his vital signs, staunches the bleeding, makes sure they get out of the car okay, make sure that they're given proper medical care. He does what he's supposed to do right there at that time and place, rather than saying, well, you know, my obligation as a Christian witness supersedes the fact that this man may be bleeding to death.
Right, and that would be a mistake. It is just as you said, the responsibilities that we have toward our neighbor are shaped by the offices that God has given to us. When we have fulfilled those responsibilities, then we have opportunities to take on other ways upon which we might serve our neighbor. But we see those as those things that we might voluntarily enter into as we are given opportunity. And opportunity means that to a certain extent there's some Christian freedom that you can exercise there in terms of the when, where, and how that you may be doing these things.
All right, let's take a real quick call here before we go to our break and save the response for the other side of the break. Barry in Kansas City listens on KCCV. Hi, Barry.
Hey, how's it going?
Very well.
I appreciate the discussion, and I guess my question is, in following the line of logic that God doesn't need our works, are we in danger?
Oh, I really wanted to know what that question was going to be. Barry, give us a call back. I'm very anxious to hear the rest of that sentence. Sounded like an excellent question in the making. Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727. 1-800-730-2727. And our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Dr. Stephen Hine is our guest. We're talking about Christian vocation. Dr. Hine is director of the Concordia Institute for Christian Studies, based in Colorado Springs, Colorado, and he spent 23 years teaching theology at Concordia University, Chicago. When we come back, we'll take more of your phone calls. Hopefully, Barry will be able to reconnect, and we'll hear the rest of that question, and we'll take your emails as well as we talk about Christian vocation. 1-800-730-2727 or issuesetc@kfuo.org. Pastor Matt Harrison of LCMS World Relief invites you to attend the LCMS Conference on Mercy, April 30th through May the 2nd at the St. Louis Airport Marriott. Keynote speakers include Pastor Harrison, Tim Gagline, Special Assistant to President Bush, and Dr. Leo Mackey, who most recently served as the Chief Operating Officer of one of the leading healthcare providers in the U.S. On Tuesday night, a special banquet with entertainment provided by Jazzmax recording artist Aaron Bodie. Meet Issues Etc. regular guests Arthur Just, Beverly Yonke, Larry Rast, Gene Edward Veith, Uwe Simonetto, and more. Plus, we'll be there broadcasting live. Now, for more information, just look for the LCMS Conference on Mercy logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. The LCMS Conference on Mercy, April the 30th through May the 2nd in St. Louis.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
I'm Todd Wilkin. We're joined by Pastor John Folley, Associate Director of LCMS World Relief. John, tell us about some of the exciting projects sponsored by LCMS World Relief.
We are working with Ministry to the Armed Forces, helping the Ministry to the Armed Forces address some of the needs of the military chaplains who are parish pastors but are also deployed with the reserves or the guard, and they have been in areas of engagement. And these chaplains end up being deployed for 13 months, and they come back to take their parish, and they have to go through a time of adjusting back to civilian life, back to their marriage and their family, and then back to the congregational setting, and that hasn't always been such an easy adjustment. And World Relief and Human Care is utilizing our part of our Soldiers of the Cross Fund to explore ways that we can be of support to these pastors, to their wives and to their children, but also to their congregations in helping their reentry be as smooth and as helpful as possible. We are involved, continuing to be involved in the response to Hurricane Katrina, continuing to partner with the Southern District and meeting the long-range and long-term needs of the Lutheran churches and schools and church workers and the community at large through Camp Restore with helping them to rebuild. We've got some significant projects that continue to go on internationally in Indonesia and in Kenya. Specifically in Kenya, as we've been sending out these Mercy medical teams, providing opportunities for congregations and individuals to adopt orphans and to build orphanages and clinics to provide clean water. Yeah, just a lot of things that we're doing internationally with our partner churches, with World Mission, connecting our works of mercy with proclamation of the gospel.
To find out how you can support the efforts of LCMS World Relief, visit our website, issuesetc.org, or call 1-888-930-4438. An international relief agency concerned with both body and soul, LCMS World Relief. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Dr. Stephen Hine is our guest. We're talking about Christian vocation. Dr. Hine, before the break, Barry's call was lost, but his question was not. The gist of his question was, look, as you said in the first hour, if the Christian doesn't do his works because he has to, then why serve anyone? Why not adopt kind of the hyper-Calvinist position? I'm secure in my salvation. I don't have to do anything, and I'm not going to do anything.
Well, the idea that I don't have to do anything, that is to say that my works will never contribute anything to God's favor in my life, is perfectly correct. We want to make this particular point. God has recreated us in his own image, and he has recreated us for these works in terms of a want to. And that want to is built into that new nature that he has given to us, because he has created a faith upon which he nurtures a love for our neighbor, and a delight in God's will in serving our neighbor. That's just the way he makes us. And we need to put our trust in his word that in fact is how he has created us. We are constrained by the love that the faith that he has engendered, has created within us.
Okay,
and that's just the way we are.
Now, on that, I want you to clarify this. I tell my daughter and my son on a regular basis the little Wilkin life lessons, that about 80 or 90% of life is doing what you really don't want to do. You can't go through life just doing the things you want to do. Those kind of people end up in prison. Do you have to want to do it for it to be a good work?
Well, it is to say that the good works there are going to be beneficial to your neighbor by your doing them, whether you wanted to do them or not. In other words, God even uses non-Christians to distribute his blessings to our neighbors, and he uses them also to distribute them to us. But it is only when works are done out of faith in Christ and out of love of neighbor that Christ reckons them ultimately as done unto him. And that's where we think in terms of the difference between works that will serve our neighbor and works that ultimately also serve Christ.
Our call in number 1-800-730-2727 and our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. I guess maybe it comes back to that issue of focus. If my focus is on, am I doing a good work? Is this a good work? Let me take my spiritual good works temperature right now. Then really I'm directed entirely the wrong place.
You're directing back in upon yourself. Maybe I could use just this time to make one other point here that I think is extremely important about good works. As we have been talking about good works, we are talking about tasks and duties. We are talking about things that God has given us to do. The results of those tasks, the results of those doing that actually benefits our neighbor are those things that God supplies. Our role is to do. God's role is to bring results of that, because all the real blessings come from Him. Which means, therefore, that in our vocation, we are never responsible for obtaining results. We are simply responsible for being faithful in our doing, and we leave the results to God, which He will get when, where, and as He chooses. The psalmist put it this way, Jerusalem will be at work building the gates, but it is God who will make them fast.
This is Susan in Tupelo, Mississippi. She writes this. I'm thinking of churches that focus on rousing congregations and communities to social or political action, as if that's their entire reason for being. Have they not confused mission for vocation? It seems we live in a mission-focused world as opposed to a vocation-focused world. We seem determined to complicate the matter. It's as difficult a concept to pass on to others as salvation through Christ alone, because it's so simple, writes Susan. Thanks for the email, Susan. Your thoughts here, Dr. Hine?
Yes. When we think in terms of vocation, we always want to make a distinction between Christ's vocation, which He continues to be at work with out of obedience to the Father, and that is a vocation of saving sinners. And He has been pleased to carry out that vocation through His church and through servants of the word that He raises up in the church. These are instruments by which Christ continues to carry out His vocation, for it is His task given by the Father to distribute the saving blessings that He has won for us on the cross, to gather together a people and to build them up in their faith and life. That is the mission of the church, where the church is functioning instrumentally, whereby the Lord continues to carry out this work. This we might call, when we think of Christ's vocation, which is, of course, the church's vocation, we might think of this as sacramental work. This is work that Christ does for our benefit. When we think of Christian vocation, this is where we serve Christ through the service of the neighbor. And generally speaking, we are talking in this context about distributing particularly the blessings of God in the various dimensions and aspects of temporal life and well-being.
Susan, if you'd write us back with your address, I'm going to send you a copy of this book called God at Work by Dr. Gene Edward Veith. Let's talk with Paul in Austin, Texas, listening also on KLGO. Hi, Paul.
Hello.
What's your question or comment, Paul?
Yes, I just wanted to really thank you guys for talking about this kind of stuff. It's, you know, a real blessing to hear this. I'm a member of an Orthodox Presbyterian church, and it wasn't until, you know, I came to that I actually, you know, started realizing that, you know, my particular vocation is my calling. And, you know, I spent, you know, years and years and years just doing things for the church and being at the church and not doing anything for my neighbor. And, you know, you can be so busy and wrapped up in that kind of stuff. And so,
thank you very much, Paul. Thanks for listening in Texas. Dr. Hine.
How exhilarating there. one of the things that frees us up so well, and it revolves around this particular word called obedience. Obedience is something ordinarily we think of that we have to render, and we render it supposedly to God because he demands it. But when the gospel blessings sink in, that actually God in Christ Jesus gives to us the perfect obedience of Christ, that we finally may grasp by faith the fact that we already have total and perfect obedience, so that that dimension of the Christian life is totally encapsulated by a life of faith that simply clings and trusts in the sufficiency of Christ's obedience for us. And that frees us up, it seems to me, to find the tremendous joy and freedom that our caller just mentioned he has discovered in being able to turn our attention to our neighbor and do things for his or her benefit.
Mike is listening in Silver Springs, Maryland on WAVA. Hi, Mike.
How you doing?
Good.
Good. My comment is this. I kind of have two, but I'm going to try to hurry up. Okay, one, I'm a college student, right? And so I'm trying to see, like, what's a good question to ask in terms of a major as a Christian who loves God? I've chosen to go the route, like, I'm a family studies major, but what I want to do is own my own TV station so that I can affect the youth positively today, which I don't really see that much on TV. So is that, does that fit into location in the way that you're talking about?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure. It does. Let's clarify one thing, though.
Okay.
Here you're talking about the possibility that God might call you to a future vocation, and you currently have a present vocation, and you have the office of student, in which you are preparing yourself for the possibility of God using you in this way. Maybe he will. And it's perfectly appropriate for us to be thinking in terms of ways in which we might be thinking of preparing ourselves for some future vocation that, God willing, anyways, he may open the doors that allow us to walk through and acquire that vocation or those offices. If it is his will, those doors will be there and open and for us to be able to make choices. And if there is some vocation that he doesn't want us to have, we don't have to worry about that or fret. It simply will not be available for us to make choices.
Mike,
if you may make a choice, you may exercise it.
All right, Mike, thank you very much for listening down there in Maryland, out there in Maryland, I should say, and thank you very much for that question. When we come back, we've got 10 minutes left with Dr. Stephen Hine talking about the doctrine of vocation. Before we let him go, I got to ask him about two things that kind of burr under my particular saddle, and that is small group ministry and, well, this is a little passe, but do you remember those spiritual gift inventories? They were supposed to tell you how you're supposed to serve God in the church. We'll be right back. Christ Academy is a two-week residential program for high school-aged men on the campus of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Here's the director of Christ Academy, Brian Gurman.
The students at Christ Academy live in the dorms as a seminarian would. They study under the seminary professors, and they worship in Kramer Chapel. And it is literally taking the seminary experience and getting a good taste of it for those 2 weeks. And what they learn in the classroom, then they experience in Kramer Chapel, as that is really the center of the experience, just as it is throughout the academic year here on campus as well.
At Christ Academy, high school-aged men explore the possibility of someday becoming a pastor. Christ Academy takes place June the 17th through the 30th on the campus of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne. Look for the Christ Academy logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, 1-800-481-2155.
A Voice in the Wilderness of American Evangelicalism. You're listening to Issues, etc.
In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths into the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly or annual contributor to Issues Etc. To find out how you can become an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron, visit our website, issuesetc.org, and look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation, grace, faith, scripture, for the sake of Christ alone. Here we stand. Issues, etc., and you.
Welcome back. Just 10 minutes left in our conversation with Dr. Stephen Hine on Christian vocation. You will find several articles on the teaching of vocation under the What's New section of our website, including one written by our guest in this hour, Dr. Hine, titled Luther on Vocation, Ordinary Life for Ordinary Saints, and one that I've written called Locus and Focus, God's Will for Your Daily Life. It's at our website under the What's New section, issuesetc.org. Dr. Hine, earlier we were talking about what I think what you called kind of a congregational monasticism or a modern form of monasticism.
Yeah.
Where people are drawn away from their God-given vocations into artificially created, self-chosen things. What about small group ministry? The way it sometimes works in congregations is someone joins a church, and then they're assigned a peer group of people to interact with, and it's not their family members, and they get together and they do activities, and it's about, I think it's about incorporating people into congregational life or something like that. But it strikes me, if it's pulling me away from my wife, my kids, it's drawing me away from my vocation.
Yes, we certainly don't want to disparage Bible study, but nevertheless, the issue of who has been called to be a teacher of God's Word, because that's an office in the church, is something that not everybody has been called to. And when the church comes to us and asks us if we would like to become a programmatic leader or a participant of some particular event or program that has been set up, including small group ministries, there's nothing in the scriptures, of course, which explicitly says that you can't do this. However, when these things get in the way of the vocation and the duties and responsibilities that God has given to us, as the primary offices where we live, work, and play, then these kinds of things are actually getting in the way of the responsibilities that God really sees as primary in our life.
What about, now this is going back a couple decades to maybe the 70s or early 80s, but I remember they were all the rage, spiritual gift inventories. You sat there and you took this self-diagnostic tool, and then at the end, you were supposed to discover your spiritual gifts through this diagnostic tool, and that was supposed to help the pastor or the leadership of the church assign you some function in the church that was your calling from the Holy Spirit.
This is some more of that same misguided thing, as if somehow we join a congregation so we can figure out ways in which the church can tell us on how we can serve Jesus. This is not what the church is there for. The church is not there, and we have not joined it, so that we can figure out how someone can tell us how we can serve Jesus. It is there precisely for the purpose of proclaiming the gospel and bringing the saving gifts of Christ through his sacraments to us. That's what it's there for. That's why it is that we want and to be involved in our local congregation. When spiritual gift inventories are used, or the other avenue that is often going along with them, namely prayer, when these become the avenues that supposedly inform us on what we ought to do, when and where to serve Jesus, then these are things that are usually misguided and lead us away from the actual responsibilities that we already have according to the vocation and offices that God has already called us to. These are the ways in which faith is to go to work in life. We don't need spiritual gift inventories. We don't need prayer, and we don't need programs in the church in order to find these things. God gives them to us where we live, work, and play.
Dr. Hine, the subtitle of your article, Luther on Vocation, is Ordinary Life for Ordinary Saints. Why that? What did you mean?
Well, what I meant was to try to stress that if you were to think in terms of the whole structure of good works as we are channeling them into vocation, for most of us, most of the time, the works that are really the quintessential works that faith is to be about in our daily living are, generally speaking, those kinds of things which are pretty ordinary. He may sometimes call us to do some very extraordinary things that may require a tremendous amount of courage or bravery or other things, but for the most part, most of the things that he has us do where we live, work, and play are fairly ordinary. If someone followed us around with a camcorder and recorded all the things that we did in faith, serving the neighbor, these would be ordinary things, and we would be ordinary saints. The extraordinary work in the life of the church is done by the extraordinary head of the church, and that, of course, is our Lord Jesus Christ. He has done the extraordinary work, and that is the work which focuses particularly upon his cross and resurrection, which brings to us, therefore, the saving gifts that raise up a fallen world and a sinful humanity. And our works, though, are pretty ordinary by and large.
Finally, Dr. Hine, someone's listening to us tonight, and they've heard what we've had to say, but they're still in the quandary. I don't know what God's will for my life is. What's your simple response to them?
I would want to say, look, when you look around you, where you live, work, and play, in your home, where you work, are there people there who either, on the one hand, are directing you because they have the responsibility to direct you to do things that benefit other people? If you can find others who truly have authority to tell you on what you ought to be doing, that, and then you can see that it actually provides some benefit for someone else, then you have just identified an office that you have. You have identified how it is that you find your works in your neighbors. And these are the quintessential works that God is calling you to be about that ultimately, in faith, are serving Christ. They're ordinary. You've actually been doing them day in and day out, week in and week out. You just need the trust and confidence that these works really come with God's command. They really do honor Christ, and they really are the way in which he is calling you to exercise your faith.
Here's our mailing address. It's Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Here's our resource line number, 1-800-737-0172. Now, use either of those to receive a free complimentary copy of our Next Issues, Etc. journal, or to make a tax-deductible gift to help support the worldwide outreach of Issues, Etc. And for any size gift during the seasons of Lent and Easter, we're going to send you interviews on the Passion and Resurrection of Christ, Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117, Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117, or call that resource line 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. Dr. Stephen Hine is director of the Concordia Institute for Christian Studies based in Colorado Springs. He spent 23 years teaching theology at Concordia University, Chicago. Dr. Hine, thank you for being our guest.
Thanks so very much for having me on such an important topic, Todd.
Are you looking for a sign from God? I think that's where most Christians end up. They've got shelves full of the books that tell them how to, what to, where to, and then they've got the kind of Eber how-to books that are out there, Becoming the Contagious Christian or Living the Purpose-Driven Life. They've listened to the tapes. They've gone to the seminars. I know you have. These things are popular for a reason. And then when all is said and done, the books are all read and earmarked and highlighted, and the three-ring binders from all those seminars are up on your shelf, you're still left saying, well, what is God's will for my life? Because all of those things have been directing you either to how you feel about what you're doing, or to a sign from heaven to tell you what's going on, or to principles from Scripture that are supposed to be one size fits all, and maybe don't fit you at all. So you're just left staring up at the ceiling, wondering, will God give me a sign and tell me what His will is for my life, whether or not what I'm doing and how I'm living is pleasing to Him? There is only one sign of God's pleasure and favor on you, and that is the perfect life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ for you. That's the only sign of God's favor for you. You need look for no others. That life suffices. That life is enough. It's more than enough for you to live from this day forward under God's complete favor and pleasure. Jesus pleased God for you, and you're not going to please God any more than Jesus did. So what's your life for? Or to ask the question that's so popular, what on earth am I here for? You're here for your neighbor. You're here for that other person right there under your nose where God has put you, your wife, your children, your husband, everywhere you find him. You're here for them because Christ was here for you. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen each week to Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can donate by credit card on our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. For a free audio copy of this hour of Issues Etc., please visit the audio archive section at kfuo.org. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of Worldwide KFUO. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
If you enjoy listening to Issues Etc. on the weekends, did you know that you can listen to 12 new hours of Issues Etc. each week on the Internet? All you have to do is go to our website, issuesetc.org, click the Worldwide KFUO logo, and there you can listen to Issues Etc. 24/7, including 12 new programs weekly. The website address again, issuesetc.org.
Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. However, we are not funded by the church body. We're also not affiliated with Lutheran Hour Ministries or the Lutheran Layman's League. Issues Etc. is supported by listeners like you. Please help support this worldwide outreach by making a gift this week. Our address, Issues Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Thanks for your prayerful consideration.